So I have no conflicts for this one either. So this is a very, as I mentioned, a very different study, but it's one that is motivated by the same interest in the convergence of over and under nutrition in low middle income countries. So this is a project that was part of Dr. Betsy Lozoff's research group at University of Michigan with a number of colleagues in China. And here we're looking at the relationship between iron deficiency and overweight amongst women of childbearing age, among pregnant women, I should say. No conflicts. So in the last presentation, I talked about some of the socio-environmental determinants of this double burden. Now I kind of want to discuss some of the potential consequences of this double burden for health outcomes and for nutrition. So iron deficiency is a big issue in nutrition. It affects about 1 billion people worldwide, especially prevalent amongst young kids and women of childbearing age. It's important for the production of hemoglobin, and it has all kind of consequences for motor and cognitive development in children, for physical activity. And so infants with iron deficiency anemia have lower mental scores and lower motor scores. Iron deficient women during pregnancy have an increased risk of mortality due to hemorrhage, and there's also an increased risk of low birth weight or premature birth. So going back to like the 1960s, there has been a relationship between obesity and iron status, and it's been in a negative direction. So more obese individuals tend to have a lower iron status. This is a more recent study done by Zimmerman et al. In 2008, looking at women and children in Morocco and India, and they found a similar negative relationship between body iron and BMI, a significant relationship. So there's some reasons why we think this might be occurring. Overweight or obese individuals may have energy-dense but nutrient-poor diets that lead to low iron intakes. They may have higher iron requirements because of larger blood volumes or because of integumentary iron losses. But one of the mechanisms that I'm particularly interested in is the potential for this regulatory hormone called hepcidin to be actually mediating this relationship between obesity and iron deficiency. And so we cannot, as humans, actively excrete iron. We can't do it. So iron absorption has to be very, very highly regulated in the small intestine to make sure that there's not an imbalance. So this is a cartoon of an enterocyte, an intestinal cell. And at the basolateral membrane of the cell here, there's this protein called ferroportin, which is a protein that regulates the export of iron from the intestinal cell. And hepcidin is this hormone that binds to ferroportin and regulates the absorption of iron into the bloodstream. So hepcidin is feedback regulated by iron concentrations in the body, by red cell requirements in the body, and it's also regulated by inflammation. So when you have inflammation, hepcidin is upregulated, it binds to ferroportin, induces the degradation, the internalization and degradation of ferroportin, and therefore does not allow iron to be exported from the enterocyte. So it tends to helps to sequester or impact iron absorption in the small intestine. So women during pregnancy are very susceptible to iron deficiency because they have an expanded red cell count, and also the fetus is drawing on the iron stores. And adiposity may actually exacerbate iron deficiency in women and have this sort of adverse consequence for iron status. In conditions of obesity or high adiposity, there is this phenotypical condition of higher inflammation or an inflammatory state. So if to the extent that inflammation upregulates hepcidin, it may sequester iron and make it less available to the mother and potentially to the fetus as well. There's been very, very little research looking at this relationship, though, between maternal obesity and iron status and the impacts on the fetus, the potential impacts on the fetus. So we were interested in looking at this. So we looked at the relationship between maternal body mass index in early pregnancy and maternal iron status, as well as her inflammatory status, her change in iron status throughout pregnancy, and also the iron status of the neonate. This was done in the context of a randomized controlled trial in China, where women were given, starting in early pregnancy, were given an iron folic acid or folic acid alone throughout the course of their pregnancy. This was done in collaboration with University of Michigan and Peking University First Hospital. And so women were recruited before their 16th week of pregnancy into antenatal clinics. These are some of the exclusion criteria. And as I mentioned, they were given folic acid alone or with iron. There was blood collection done at their first visit, in the third trimester, and in cord blood. and we use maternal BMI to define obesity. So here are the characteristics of the women in the intervention and control groups. There were no differences across the groups. The randomization worked to balance these groups. There was about 5% of women were obese, so not a lot of obesity. About 15% were overweight. Not a lot of anemia either, about 5 or 6%. Iron depletion based on serum ferritin, which is a storage protein for iron, was about 20%. So while there wasn't a lot of anemia, there was about one-fifth of women who were iron deficient. Iron deficient. So here's one of our main findings. Here's body mass index, and these are different markers of iron status. And what we found was that, let's take a look at these two lines here that dip down. This is serum ferritin, and this is total body iron. At around a threshold of about 30 BMI, the concentrations of serum ferritin really plummeted. So women who were obese tended to have a lower concentration of serum ferritin and lower total body iron. These other indicators are similar, but they actually, a higher level means poor iron status. So it looks like they're going the opposite direction, but they're actually, it's the same trend. So overall, there was a negative relationship with iron status markers and obesity, but we did a threshold analysis, and it really became apparent that at that threshold around 29-30 BMI, that's really where the relationship was strongest. This is a scatter plot of C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation. And again, women who were obese or a higher body mass index had a higher level of inflammation based on this marker. So kind of confirming this idea that inflammation is more prevalent in obese women. And the last slide on results here, we did a few more analyses, but I'll show you this is the relationship of maternal BMI with the iron status of the neonate. So using the cord blood to look at the iron status of the neonate. And in bivariate analyses, no, we're not controlling for anything. We see a negative coefficient with maternal BMI and serum ferritin, a negative coefficient with total body iron, and a positive coefficient with transferrin receptor, which is also a negative relationship. When we start controlling for confounding variables, the relationship still holds for serum ferritin and for total body iron. So a negative relationship between maternal BMI in early pregnancy and the neonatal iron status. You can see here gestational weight gain actually is also significant, but it actually has a much larger magnitude of the coefficient. So women who gained an excessive amount of weight during pregnancy also showed the neonate also had a lower iron status associated with that. And that was even stronger than the maternal BMI, which may be indicative of a stronger relationship. So we found that maternal BMI was modestly, though consistently associated with lower maternal iron status, and especially for obese individuals. Women, higher BMI was associated with higher inflammation. And maternal BMI was negatively associated with cord blood iron status in our analyses. Interestingly, iron status declined for all women in the period because they were pregnant and their iron stores were declining, but it was less profound in obese women. A weird finding, and I think we can talk about that if you're interested. I didn't show the results for that, but that's something we found. So future directions, we'd like to look at this in women who are in populations with more obesity. We're now looking at the role of hepcidin in mediating these relationships. So I have a small grant to do that in this same cohort. And we're exploring the consequences of excessive gestational weight gain on not just on iron status, but on infant development as well, and child development post neonatal period. So I'm happy to have any questions. Do I have any time left? Okay, great. Yes. So no, these women were, any women who had a chronic health problem, including diabetes, were excluded from this group. So we didn't have the data, but there's a good paper that came out recently by Phillips et al., and they look particularly at women who were diabetic and look at the same relationship, and they find that that actually exacerbates this relationship that I showed you there. But, I don't know about that. That's actually a good question. I don't know. I assume they monitored that, but I don't know if they were excluded during the. I don't think they were excluded during the trial. They may have been, but I can find that out. That's a good question. Yeah, it's a challenge. I would like to use something else. You know, I'd like to use an actual measure of body fat. You can't use a DEXA for women who are pregnant, and this is the only data available to us for this particular trial. This was not the main the main research question for this trial, so they didn't look at things other than BMI. But it is difficult. BMI is not a measure of adiposity, right? So it's just an indicator, and it's a pretty poor one. But it is showing us, you know, some interesting trends. So you know, and in some grants I've been writing, I've been trying to look at things using like bioelectrical impedance to get a sense of body fat in women. But it is difficult in pregnant women because you really can't stick them in a DEXA machine. It's a definite limitation of this work. No, I did control for inflammation, though, so using CRP, which ostensibly helps to control for any kind of acute infections. Yeah. Yes? Yeah, we don't know. I was hypothesizing that, because it was sort of goes along with what I was thinking, that this women who are obese and have an upregulation of this hepcidin, their iron stores may be sequestered, and therefore there may be less available to the fetus. But I don't know. We consulted with Michael Georgieff, who is sort of the iron neonatal iron guy, and he said that's an interesting hypothesis. It might also be the case that because iron stores are so dependent on weight, because most of our iron stores are tied up in our red cells, and our red cell mass is largely determined by our weight, that women who have higher weights have higher iron stores, and therefore when they lose some, it's sort of, you don't see that impact as much, right? Right, it's sort of, you have a larger to begin with, so you take the same amount away from the woman, and sort of, you don't see the impact as much on them. So those are sort of the two things we're juggling now. But we don't know, and I'm not sure if we're going to be able to know it from these data. We'll have to probably look at some other indicators. But, yeah, it was a very interesting finding. It was kind of went against what I thought.
Thank you.
Yep.
There will be time for everybody to ask questions. Let me recenter, so thank you.